and pray for Brother Ricky Bullock tonight, who's preaching down at the Liberty Baptist Church in Shelby. Pray for Brother Mike Church, who's preaching at the, I forgot the name of that church, in Hidden Eye. Let's pray for them. They're off preaching tonight. Genesis chapter 9. I'll read the scripture together tonight. Genesis chapter number 9, verse 1. Now, the flood's over. Noah's been in that thing for a year. Water's finally drying up, and he's getting ready, or he's going out here. The Lord's going to make a covenant with Noah as he starts out his life in the new world. And let's look at what he said there in verse number 1 of Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto him, by the way, you see there where he said he blessed his son? That's why that curse couldn't be put on Ham himself. That's why it wound up on his sons. See, they'll be under in verse 18, after they sinned there and on down there, God cursed couldn't put the curse on Ham because God had already blessed him. And he blessed Shem and Japheth, and Ham, since it had already been blessed, the curse had to come on his seed. So there the Bible said, and God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. Surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of every man. At the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. And you, be ye fruitful, and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply therein. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and behold, I establish my covenant with you, and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of the beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there be any more a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you upon every living creature and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud. That's what we call the rainbow. And it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass that when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. God put the rainbow in the sky. And he told Noah, he said, look at here. When you see this bow up here in the cloud when after it rains, that's going to be my token of the promise that I'm never, ever going to send a universal flood again. There'll be little local floods like we have still, but there'll never be another flood to cut off all flesh. God said, Noah, this is the token. This is the promise. I want to preach to you tonight by the help of the Lord. I believe that our church needs this message tonight. I know that I need it in these trying times. I know as we begin to launch forward and launch out by faith and begin to build and begin to expand our ministry and reach others and with the persecution and the IRS down the church's back and the state trying to control the churches, I know that we need this promise in these last days. I want to preach to you tonight on the subject, standing on the promises. Let's bow our heads while we pray. Our Heavenly Father, tonight we thank you for this privilege, the opportunity, God, that we have, able to bow here in your presence and call thee our Father. Thanking you, Lord, for this day. Thanking you, Lord, for our health and our strength. All the many blessings of life, God, that you've given us. We thank you tonight for the Word of God, the promises contained therein. We thank you tonight, Lord, that we're privileged to be here in this place. I pray, Lord, that the Holy Ghost may grab our hearts and our minds and keep us through Jesus Christ. I pray, dear Lord, God, that our minds will think holy thoughts. Our lips would speak holy words. Our feet would go to holy places. Our hands would do holy deeds. And Lord, our bosom would beat with a holy heart inside of us, Lord, in these days of sin. I pray, dear God, that you'd help our church build a wall of fire around this place, Lord. God, I pray, God, that we can be a stronghold of faith and the preaching of the Word of God in these last days before you come back again. I ask you, dear Father, tonight, Lord, that you may anoint this preacher. Help us, dear Lord, to say what you won't said and stand on the promises of God. And we'll praise you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to preach to you tonight by the help of the Lord on the subject, standing on the promises. Here God gives Noah an everlasting covenant and an everlasting promise that he will never ever destroy the world again with a flood. I can imagine years gone by, one day when it began to cloud up and get dark and cold and dark clouds come over top of the sky and lightning begin to flash. Sometimes maybe Noah's wife would roll over and punch him or get him in the living room and say, "Honey, surely God's not going to do it again, is he? God's not going to do it again." He said, "No, honey. You remember back yonder when God promised that he'd never do it again?" He said, "Well, honey, God gave us that promise many years ago, but God's promises are still good 100 years after he gives them as the day that he makes them." You know, time doesn't matter with God. Somebody down here in this earth might tell you something, and they'll say, "Well, I'll do this or I'll do that," and a year or two later, they won't do it. We've had people tell us they'd be faithful to the church, they'd teach Sunday school, or they'd work on a bus route, and come find out they wouldn't fulfill their promise that they made. But when God makes a promise to man tonight, God always keeps his word. God never has broke a promise. I want to encourage you tonight, church. If God had let me, I'd like to just be a blessing to you tonight. I'd just like to be an encouragement to you tonight that God is a God of his word. Brother, he made a promise and he will fulfill it. If God promised you something, you can bank on it. It's just as good as already taken place. Brother, you know that thrills my soul tonight to know that God never has broke his word. I'd be a big liar if I stood here tonight and told you that I had never doubted my presence with God, my salvation. A lot of people said, "Well, I never doubted I was saved." Man, I don't know, brother. I don't know many Christians that live that way. I've doubted God's power. I've doubted God's presence. I'm ashamed to tell it, but I've doubted God's word. And a lot of times I think, "Lord, here I am out in the midst of the sea and it's tossed." And I tell you what I feel like sometimes. I feel like like a man running through the jungle, and there's weeds just so thick you can't get through them hardly. And there's briars and stuff getting in my legs, and blood's running down my legs, and they're getting in my face, my eyebrows, and I've got a knife, and I'm going through there like this, and I've got my eyes closed so I won't get my eyes punched out, and I can't see 2 foot in front of me, and I look around, and there's 300 people following me, saying, "We know you're right, Brother Danny. We know you led us astray," and it scares the devil out of me. And boy, I think, "Lord, what Roman?" And a lot of times I think, "God, I've got to believe your promises. God, I've got to trust what you said to me in that Bible." Oh, you say, "Brother Danny, I believe." Why, there's times in my life, man, when I believe God's promises just as if God was sitting right there telling them to me. But then there's other times, brother, when the clouds are low and those old dark clouds are hanging over your soul and the lightning flash, the thunder roars and the devil hollers, "Boo!" And boy, he said, "I've got you this time. We'll never make it through this trial. I'll get you, Danny Castle, if it's the last thing I ever do. I'll get you just like you got my brother." That's what the devil tells me a lot of times. God, I won some of his brothers, the Lord. And boy, they're sitting here tonight. And I'm telling you, brother, the devil tells me you'll never be able to do it. But I still, by faith tonight, even though I can't feel it, by faith tonight, even though I don't see it, by faith tonight, I believe our God is just as good as his word that he told us he
here. This Bible tonight, hey, this Bible tonight is just as real and just as true as it was the day the Apostle Paul dipped his pen in ink and wrote it on the scroll, brother. It's just as inspired. It's just as powerful. It's just as holy as it was the day the original manuscripts were written. I'm telling you tonight, let us stand on the promises of God. Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You know, the only time you ever go visiting is when you feel like it, you won't visit much. The only time you ever pray is when you feel like praying, you won't pray much. But when you can't feel nothing, see nothing, and you go ahead and stand on God's promise, brother, you'll see the light break through. After a while, the light will break through in your soul. I was preaching down there in a revival service the other night, and I come across something that I've thought about a time or two since then. And us modern day Christians, we've got it all doctrinally figured out. We're theologically straight. And we make fun of those old timey Christians for their terminology such as praying through. But did you know them old folks wasn't as dumb as we try to think they was, folks? There is a time when you got to pray through. Now, I know a lot of preachers say, oh, no, sir, preacher, you're telling them a bunch of junk. All you got to do is name it, claim it. No, sir, brother. There's some times when the clouds of doubt are over your soul. And there is, the old folks didn't know what they was talking about when they talked about praying through. Now, I know what our modern day thinking is. Say, all you got to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt live. I understand that. I know all that. But I'm talking about, brother, sometimes it ain't hard for God to save you. It's hard for you to believe Him sometimes. That's why them old people used to stay at the altar a long time before they went home. They prayed till they believed. And you don't believe till you repent. The Bible says repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin in between you keep you from believing. Brother, you got to say, I'm willing to forsake my sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we got to do as Christians, is stand on His promises. Let me hurry tonight. Let me get on this message tonight. Just as sure as we still see the rainbow. Anybody seen a rainbow this summer? Anybody seen one? Oh, glory to God. What about that? The Lord ain't forgot that promise He made to Noah. That old rainbow up yonder. There's some people, every time they see a rainbow, all they think about is a lot of gold that's supposed to be at the end of it. But if a Christian sees a rainbow, he thinks, glory to God, there's God that made that promise to Noah over 4,000 years ago. And God still means what He said. Amen. I'm going to preach to you about rainbows a little bit tonight. I'm going to say some things about rainbows and what the Bible just said. I do set my bow in the cloud, and we've kind of tagged that rain onto it. It's a rainbow, and I reckon that's all right. But anyway, brother, we need to think about them tonight. Listen, there is not an experience of life by whose side God has not placed and fixed a promise. Henry Ward Beecher made that statement many years ago, and he said that no matter what experience you come up against in life, I don't care what it is, physical, mental, spiritual, financial, there is not a circumstance in your life that what not God ain't got a promise in His Word to meet that prompt, that need. Listen, you know what made me feel good the other day? I think, boy, I'm weird. Something matter in my inside. My faith is wavering. My mind ain't right. My prayers ain't getting through. What's the matter with me? And all of a sudden, I heard a preacher say the other day, he said, no Christian is going through anything that there ain't another Christian in the world somewhere going through the very same thing. That makes you feel good, don't it? We like to think that we're the only one in the world in our city. Everybody else at the church has got it made. They don't know what battles I'm fighting. If as easy as they did, I'd shout too. Oh, if I had it made like old Brother Roy Lee there. Well, look at him. There's not a thing wrong with him. And shouting and praising God. But I guarantee you he's got something that bothers him just like you've got something that bothers you. And we all need to realize that there's not a thing you're going through what some other Christian in the world ain't going through that very same thing. Now we need to learn to take God's word on His promises and on them. What is a rainbow? Let me introduce the message by saying this. A rainbow, what is a rainbow anyway? A rainbow is a reflection of the sun's rays shining behind the cloud. That's what it is. The Bible said in Malachi that Jesus Christ is the sun, S-U-N, of righteousness. Now the clouds of doubt come over us in our life. But the sun's on the other side still shining. Just because you can't see the sun don't mean it ain't shining. Somebody said, oh, I was hoping the sun would shine today. Hey, man, the sun shines every day. You just can't see it on account of the cloud. The sun's shining right now. Do you know that? You know why it's dark outside? Because the world's between us and the sun. That's why it's dark right now. But the sun's shining just as bright as ever somewhere out yonder in the middle of nowhere tonight. I'm telling you, brother, the Bible declares that God said His bow is a promise. Now, a rainbow is a reflection of the sun rays. The sun is still shining behind the clouds. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still shining. And we need to tarry at the promise until God meets us there. If you're having problems in your life, get you a promise out of God's Word and tarry at that promise, because God always walks back and forth by His promises. And if you'll hang around the promises of God, it won't be long till God will be back by. I'm telling you, brother, tarry at the promises of God. He'll be by soon. I'm going to talk about tonight what we ought to do in standing on the promises. Instead of standing on the promises, most church members would really sing sitting on the premises. But we need to learn what the Bible means when it says stand on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ my King through eternal ages, let His praises ring. Glory in the highest, I was shouting, saying, standing on the promises of God. First of all tonight, we notice this. A rainbow appears in a terrible cloud after a rain. Now I want to say first of all tonight that we need to stand on the promise of God's protection. Stand on the promise of God's protection. After a great big terrible rain, and you think, Lord, this thing going to drown us all. It's going to wash us all away and send us into eternity. All of a sudden, about that time, you think it's going to drown the whole neighborhood. About that time, you see a big bright bow up in the cloud. That is a promise of God's protection. He said, Noah, I'll never do it again. I'll never destroy the earth by waters of a flood again. That's my promise. We need to stand on the promise of God's protection. Just as sure as God protected Noah through the flood, He'll protect you and me through the battles and troubles and troubles of this life if we'll trust Him. Now, just as sure as God protected David from Goliath, just as sure as God protected Daniel from the den of lions, just as sure as God protected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace. Just as sure as God kept Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, He'll keep you through them fiery trials on your job. He'll keep you kids at school. If you want to live right at school, you stand on God's promise and say, here I stand, and God will protect you. I'm telling you, we need to stand on the promise of God's protection. I'll tell you some stories tonight. There's a man one time, and he's walking down the street. He's a Christian man. And as he's going down the street, these two hoodlums came out from behind him and jumped him and began to beat him up. And one of them, he had an expensive pin here on his lapel of his jacket. And one of them grabbed that, had some gold on it, and said, I'll take that. And he jerked it out. And before they could ever get to his billfold, he started reaching in his pockets and searching him. And one of them felt something. He pulled out a New Testament. And when he pulled out the New Testament, he said to his buddy, he said, hey, wait a minute. This guy's a Christian. We better leave him alone. And boy, he throwed down, he gave him his pen back, and gave him his Bible back, and they took off running around the corner. You know, God protected them boys, but he stood on the promise of God's protection. Now, sometimes you say, well, what about me, preacher? I got beat up. Well, the Lord might let you get up sometime, but He's still able to protect you when it's His will. And you know, sometimes, I was thinking about this the other day, and y'all gonna think I'm just trying to play spiritual when I say this, but this is the truth. I really think about this. I was thinking about all these Christians got their head cut off and beat and slapped and kicked and everything. And I ain't even never really been socked in the face real good for Jesus. I had a guy pull a knife on me before. About that long. He'd ready to stick that thing to me, brother. And I started trying to make friends with him. And, you know, I've had people threaten to beat me up and call me bad names and stuff like that. But I ain't never really had my jaw half broke for Jesus. I might just go out somewhere next weekend on Friday night and go into a honky tonk in Charlotte or somewhere and just walk in there and just say, hey, old sinner, what's the matter with you? And just see if I can get my head knocked off for Jesus. Now, really, I don't think you're supposed to try to get that done, but you know, it bothers us when somebody just talks about us. Why, these days people come to church and 15 people don't shake their hand. They got their feelings hurt. They ain't going back. They ain't friendly to me up there at that church. Man, these people got tied up in sacks of rattlesnakes and thrown over an ocean in days gone by. You say, what about God protect? God can protect us. I heard a preacher say something on tape the other day that I thought I might try. I was talking to somebody about it this morning. There's one word that I don't like to be called. Everybody in here knows what it is. What is it? Reverend. I can't stand that. I don't know where they come up with that baloney at, calling a preacher a reverend. That's the dumbest thing. And you know, the word reverend ain't in the Bible but one time. And they probably don't know where it's at. But it's in Psalms, and it's talking about God. That's putting a pretty high position on a man calling him reverend. One time in the Bible, it calls that about God. Ain't call me that. That's like call me Almighty. Don't call me that. Call me preacher, brother. And the other day, I was getting some gas. This guy came out, you know, and he said, "How you doing, Rev?" Boy, that just burns me up when they laugh. People say that all of them, and they're kind of like they're trying to be in smart, Ellie. So I thought the next time somebody comes up to me and says that, I'm going to say, "Pretty good, how you, sinner?" And you know what they'll say? They'll say, "Well, you trying to be smart?" I'm just doing what you are. You call me reverend, I call you sinner. That's what you are. But brother, I'm telling you that God can protect us if we'll trust Him. And I'm not saying go out there and just stick your nose in something, try to get your head beat in or something like that. But it wouldn't hurt us to endure a little persecution for the Lord. I've had people write articles against me in the paper and call me names and tell lies on me, but good night. I mean, sticks and stones break my bones, but words can't hurt you. We need to stand on the promise of God's protection. I need that just as well as you do tonight. Over in British Columbia, there was over yonder there's a missionary. And brother, he was preaching. Now I'll tell you about God's protection. And he's in there preaching, a great big crowd of people in the house. And there's an old drunk that's wanting to kill him. And he come riding in the back door on a horse. And he come charging down the aisle. And he's just going to wreck a horse right over top of that missionary and stomp him to death. And so he come towards that missionary. And that missionary said he couldn't move this way, couldn't move that way. And he just sent up a quick prayer and said, "God help me, God protect me." And he said that horse was charging right toward him. And lo and behold, he said when it got about right close to him, about one step away, he said all of a sudden that horse just stopped and reared up on its hind feet, you know, like I do, and started squealing. And he said that guy jerked that thing down, and he kicked it in the side to run over that guy, and the horse got up there and just reared up on it. He said there's an invisible glass wall in there between him and that horse. And he said it come down again, that guy kicked it again, and he said three times he tried to run over him with that horse, and he couldn't do it, and the horse wouldn't go no further than right there. And he said finally he turned around and left, and they went on to the service, and the service just continued just like nothing had happened. You say, Brother Danny, you reckon that could really be God? I read in the Bible where there's a man named Balaam walking, running down the road on a little donkey one day, except it wasn't a donkey. And brother, he's going down between these two big cracks, brother, and it's like in limbo caverns, man. And he's looking big man out on this side, and all of a sudden that thing stopped. And boy, it wouldn't go no further. And he kicked it, and it wouldn't go. And he kicked it, and it wouldn't go. And he kicked it, and it wouldn't go. I mean, it just wouldn't go. And boy, the Lord had that thing to give him a message, turn around and talk to him. And God opened Balaam's eyes, and the angel of the Lord was standing there with a sword, and he's getting ready to kill him. I believe God's able to put that angel of the Lord in camp round about them that fear him and protect you. I heard about a man saying one time, he was bragging about how that God protected him, and he's riding a horse and chariot around the side of a mountain. And he come running into the prayer, and he said, "Guess what? My chariot turned over the mountain. My horse fell and broke his leg or something." And he said, "I got out without a scratch. I didn't even get hurt." Woo! Hallelujah! Praise God for his protection. And the emperor looked back at him and he said, "Why are you so praising God about that?" He said, "I've drove around that mountain many times and didn't have a chariot wreck." That's God's protection. I'm telling you, listen, we come into church a lot of times and we say, "Oh Lord, I just barely missed a guy. We've almost hit head on down here coming to church. And God, mighty hand reached down and protected me." Well, we ought to praise God for all them times when He protects us, gets us here when we don't have no close calls. I mean, bro, when God does let our car make it, God don't let some drunk hit us head on. And God don't, that's, you're living on God's protection every day of your life. It's God that protects you while you're going to work. It's God that keeps thieves from breaking in on you at night and killing you. It's God that keeps somebody from burning your house down and knocking you in the head when you're walking down the street. It's God's protection. We ought to stand on the promise of God's protection tonight. You ladies whose husband worked third shift and you live in nightmares every night, let me encourage you. Stand on the promise of God's protection. I heard about a man that was in the army. You've heard me tell this story again, but I love it. Or before, and some of you did, maybe, and some of you haven't. Well, I was out there, and I read that story, and he said that this man is in the army. And he's out there fighting, and guns, and people shooting, and everything. He said he's out there with his buddies fighting, and some of his buddies were being shot and killed. And about the time he said somebody pointed a gun at him and shot him, and hit him right here in the chest. He said the impact of the bullet knocked him down. He didn't even realize what had happened for a few seconds. But he said he realized he wasn't dead, and he laid on the ground, just laid there like he was dead. And his friend emptied out his bullets on him, and finally all the enemy was gone. And after the enemy was gone, he raised up, and he had something. He had a pressure right here on his chest, and he reached in his pocket, and he pulled out a little old New Testament. And he said that bullet went right in through that New Testament, right in the middle of it, and just bored a hole through that thing, all the way through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the New Testament, and it went all the way through, and got Psalm and Proverbs in the back of it. And he said that bullet went all the way through, and they took that thing home and opened it up, and that bullet was still lodged in there, and it went all the way through those pages until it stopped and pointed right at Psalm 91 and verse 7. And Psalm 91 verse 7 says, 1,000 shall fall at thy right hand, and 10,000 shall fall at your left hand, but it shall not come nigh thee.
Amen.
Brother, that old boy said, there's God's protection on me. And he said he stood on the promise of God's protection. I bet he's glad he had his testament in his pocket that day when he went on the job, ain't you? I'm telling you, brother, God's able to protect us. I heard a man that prayed one time. He was a Christian conductor of a train. And he said before every trip, he'd always pray and say, God, keep us safe on this train ride. One night he's taking off with a load of passengers behind him, and he prayed and said, God, protect us. And he said about 3 o'clock in the morning, all of a sudden the engine stopped and wouldn't hit another lick. And he said he couldn't get it started again. The people was wondering what was wrong. And he found they had a delay, and they got some of the passengers off and back and forth and everything. And it was 14 hours, before they ever got that thing started again. You know what they found out when they went on down the road to the next town? They found out that the bridge was out. They found out that the bridge had been washed away. And if they'd have kept on going, they'd have plunged over to their death. But God killed the engine on that plane, and God's protecting hand was upon them. And he said, to beat it all, there wasn't nothing wrong with it. After 14 hours, they just hit the starter and she started right up. And brother, he said he stood on the promise of God's protection. I heard about a Chinese Christian over in China that is trying to get him to take a job selling insurance, and this fire insurance on houses. And I ain't going to do it. And they said, why? And he said, because this insurance has the doctrine of the gods and the idol, false gods of China in it. And he said, I'd be a partaker of a false god if I did it. I don't want nothing to do with it. They said, God's able to protect me. And God let him stand on that promise of God protecting him. You know, if you open your mouth about something, the Lord will usually let you try it to see. Will be burned. He said, I ain't going nowhere. God's able to protect me. And it got to the next house beside his. And they said, get out. Your house is going to be burned. He said, I ain't going nowhere. God's able to protect me. And brother, when it got to that house right beside his, all of a sudden there came a change of wind direction. And brother, the wind just turned around and started blowing the other way and blew that fire out that way. And his house never burned down. He stood on the promise of God's protection. I heard about old Maze Jackson on that tape. Somebody touched heaven for me. I was listening to it. If you ain't heard that, man, you ought to get that tape. And old Brother Mays is telling on that. And he said, there's in the army. And he said, there was fighting and the bullets were flying. And he said, they're trying to get one of our soldiers to climb up the flagpole and put the flag on top of the pole. And he said, maybe one of them tried it and he got shot down. Another tried it and he got shot. And he said, is there anybody else brave enough to take the flag and put it up on the pole up yonder? Boy looked at his watch and he said, Sergeant or whoever, he said, in 22 minutes, I'll climb up there and take that flag and put it on that pole. And everybody kind of looked kind of strange. They said, all right, 22 minutes, you can do it. And brother, they waited around there a little while, and about 25 minutes later, that boy grabbed the flag and started up that pole. And he said, when he started up that pole, bullets went under him, bullets went over him, bullets went around him, bullets went on both sides. He just climbed up there and put that thing up there and come right back down. And they was cheering him, he was their hero. And they said, man, I can't figure out how you done it. How'd you do it without getting killed? And he said, he's an old boy from Arkansas back here, and he's over in the army. And he said, bro, he said, well, you see, gentlemen, he said, my mama told me before I left that every day at 4 o'clock she'd be down on her knees praying for me that God would protect me. And he said, 4 o'clock Arkansas time. And he said, I know nothing couldn't happen with mama on her knee. I'm telling you tonight, we ought to stand on the promise of God's protection. Our God's able to protect us tonight just as good as he did the children of Israel in the land of Egypt. Rainbow appears in the cloud. And Brother shows us that we ought to stand on the promise of God's protection. But secondly tonight, we need to notice this. Notice this about a rainbow. The thicker the cloud, the brighter the bow. Did you know that? That's right. That's what they say, that the thicker the cloud is, the brighter that bow shines. Amen. I done see some heads nodding, brother. You done know where I'm going, don't you? I mean, you know what I'm getting ready to say. You know what those clouds represent? Them clouds represent doubt. Them clouds represent trials. Them clouds represent temptation and trouble and battles and storms that you go through. But the thicker the cloud, the brighter the bow. And the Bible tells us here that God set His bow in the cloud. And according to this, we ought to stand on the promises of God's presence. Stand on the promise of His presence. Did God say in the Bible, I'll never leave you nor forsake you? Then, brother, that promise is just as good tonight. That means, brother, God's here tonight. That means God, Almighty God, that created this world, is this room tonight. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake me or forsake you. Listen, brother, listen. That'll wake some of you up. You think about God being in this room. God's in this room tonight. God's in this room. God's in this place. God's in this place. God's in this room tonight. You say, Brother Denny, how do you know? He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'll be in the midst of them. Jesus is in this room tonight. Jesus Christ is in this room. You can't see Him, but He can see you. And that's all that matters. And I'm telling you tonight, we ought to stand on the promise of His presence. Where sin did abound, the verse goes, grace did much more abound. Where the cloud's thicker, the bow's brighter. I heard about a man in the jungle, and they was trying to kill him. These savages were. And he climbed up in a tree where they couldn't see him. And he said down there they were yelling and howling around, slinging their darts and arrows, looking for him. And he's up on the tree looking down at them. He said that was the darkest hour of his life. But he said God's presence got more real to him there. That was the thickest cloud, and the promises were more real. God's got a way of evening things up. If you're going through dark trials, His promises shine brighter to you than when you're not going through trials. Did you know that's one of the blessings of being poor? Really? I mean, if you're poor tonight, don't sit around and feel sorry for yourself. Brother, you've got a chance to let them promises shine. See, rich folk, they got money in the bank, money in the bank. They don't trust God's promises. That's why all these rich Christians, and I mean, there is such a thing. All of them, you know, fakes. But there is such a thing, not many. They miss a great blessing that a lot of the poor Christians miss. And that's being able to take God His way. God, I don't know where my next bite's coming from. I don't know where my next meal's coming from. And then watch Him promises shine. That's a blessing. You know it? Stand on the promise of God's presence. You know, He said, God was never before so real to me and so near as He was when I was in that tree. I heard about an old fella sick, an old Scottish man. He's sick in his bed about to die. He said the preacher come over to visit him one night, one afternoon. And the preacher sat down over here on this side of the bed. And there's another chair near the bed there. And the preacher said, oh, I see you've already had company. And the old man laying in his bed said, no, preacher. He said, I'll tell you why that chair's there. He said, years ago, I was having problems with my prayer life. He said, it got to where when I'd get down to pray, I'd just go to sleep. And when I did pray, I couldn't keep my thoughts from wandering. I couldn't concentrate. Like I really couldn't get through to God. And he said, it worried me, and I talked to my pastor about it. And he said, my pastor says, well, if you're having a problem with that sleep all the time, he said, you don't have to kneel to pray every time. Just sit down in a chair and talk to the Lord just like He's sitting in the other chair. And so the guy said, I tried what my preacher said. He said, I'd go home and I'd just sit in my chair and I'd just talk to Jesus. So I decided I'd set Jesus a chair over here too. And so he got him another chair and turned it over towards him. He said, now Jesus, you sit in that chair and I'll sit in this chair. And that's the way he done his praying. He just sat there and talked to Jesus in that chair. And he said, that's what that chair is doing. I said, I talked to him. He's sitting right there in that chair. And the preacher said, oh man, that's something. That's a blessing. And he talked to him a little while and then left. And he said, not too long after that, the man's daughter came and found the minister that had visited him. And the man's daughter came and told him, she said, my daddy's gone. She said, we went in there the other day and found him dead in his bed. And his life was gone out of his body. He'd slipped on out into eternity. But she told the preacher that had visited him that day. He said, was he all right? And he said, everything was normal. But he said, one little thing was different. She said, Daddy's hand was over there on that chair. See, then when we found him dead, Daddy's hand is over there on that chair. And brother, I guess the Lord just told him, he said, okay, buddy, it's time to go. Give me a hand. And he reached out there and took him. I'm telling you, brother, the world ain't got nothing. World ain't got nothing they can give you like that. You can go out there and honky-tonk and video and disco around, live for the devil and smoke pot and drink liquor and commit sin. But when it comes your dying day, the world ain't got nothing they can give you like that, where you can reach out and get the hand of God and roll you over the tide, brother. I'm telling you, we need to stand on the promise of God's presence. Amen! I'm glad something happened to me one night down there at Nebo Baptist Church that never has died. Name is Flicker. But the fire has never gone out! And one of these days, when that get time for me to die, one of these days, old Brother Danny's going to draw his last breath. I bleed just sure as I'm standing here. I'll be able to reach up and say, Lord, it's my time to go. And brother, he'll carry over. I'll float into the city of God with him if we'll stand on the promise of God's protection and His presence. Postman carrying the mail one time, and somebody said, ain't you afraid? They said, ain't you afraid of carrying the mail? Ain't you afraid somebody knock you in the head, shoot you, kill you? He said, let me tell you something, buddy. He said, when I got this suit on, says United States government on my shoulder, and I got this bag on me, it says U.S. Postal Service. He said, I might be in all the power of the United States riding with me. And he said, if I ain't got nothing but one postcard with one stamp on it in this bag, I'm protected by the entire United States government. And he said, I'm the safest man around. He said, people know better than to mess with me. If he messes with me, he'll have the entire United States government down his throat. And brother, I thought about that, and I thought, glory to God, you think about that. You know, we as Christians, we're scared to go witnessing, scared to give it out tract. But brother, we've got the power of all heaven with us. The Lord said in Matthew 28, go into all the world and preach the gospel, and lo, I am with you always. That's His presence. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That means, boys, when you go out and preaching, you ain't by yourself. The Lord's with you. Glory to God. The Lord, my battle. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, mighty in battle. He's with us. Every time you bus workers go out there and knock on doors, the Lord's with you. You may think you're by yourself. You may think it's dangerous. You may think, brother, it's scary. But the Lord Himself is with you. Mark 16, where He sent the disciples out, the Bible said the Lord worked with them. And the Lord does work with us. And I like what the preacher said on the tape I was listening to the other night going to revival. He said, we're not working for God. He said, that's the wrong terminology. The Bible don't treat us doing something for God. We are co-laborers. We're working with God. God's working with us. We are co-laborers, workers together with Him in the harvest. It's not like He's up yonder and we're down there working for Him. He's down here with us, going with us, and working with us. That's a promise of God's presence. When you go to work tomorrow morning, the Lord will be with you. Poet said, what can strip the seeming glory from the idols of the earth? Not a sense of right and duty, but a peerless worth. What that's saying is, if you got idols that you're really liking and you're wanting to go sin, and it's taking all you can do to keep from watching dirty movies and looking at dirty books and living for the devil, and it just seems like the world's awful attractive to you, instead of just saying, I can't do it, I've got to do right, all you need is a real glimpse of Him, His presence. One glimpse of the Lord's presence and that stuff just kind of fades. And instead of trying to make ourselves resist temptation like this all the time, oh Lord, help me. If you'll just get one good glimpse of that's your shield of what? What does the Bible say your shield's made out of? Faith. Now, if you've got the shield of faith, if you believe in God's presence, the fiery darts of the wicked just go bing, bing, bing. I like that Little Rascals we used to watch when I was little. And boy, when the Little Rascals come on, I always liked that one. Where is that my first Spanky or one of them? They're going to give a Shakespeare speech. You remember that? And they come out there on a with this knight in shining armor type of thing. And boy, looked around and had this big long cape. It's Spanky, I believe. And his mama was back there and she's going to be real proud of him and everything. You know, and these guys sitting there didn't like him. And so they got him some pea shooters and they filled their mouth full of peas. And he'd come out there and he'd say, friends, Romans and countrymen, lend me your ear. And about that time, these guys would spit those things. He'd go like that and put his shield up and go, ding, 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 back off. You remember that story? Boy, that was a blessing, wasn't it? I tell you, brother, he'd quench them fiery peas of the wicked. And boy, those peas would bounce off of that shield. And he said, friends, Romans, and countrymen, bounce off his shield. Now, if he hadn't had his shield, he'd have been in bad shape. Now, when you go out there on your job and where you work, the devil's shooting darts at you constantly. You've got to have the shield of promise of God's presence. You've got to say, Jesus is with me. And if you've got your shield of faith, them things will just bounce right up. Like it did in the movie we saw about Pilgrim's Progress. How those five darts bounced off of his shield of faith. If the devil, you know, if you ain't got your shield of faith up, I don't know how it works with you, but here's the way it does me. I've got the victory. I'm going down the road. Or I'm here in church, or I'm praying, or the devil throws a dart. It might be an intellectual dart. It might be a thought of, you know, change. And if you ain't got your faith up, it'll go, ugh, and weaken you. But if you face up, it'll bounce off. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You want to believe in God's presence? Read the Bible. 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 You'd be better off to read the Bible more than reading so many books about the Bible. Now, I believe in reading books about the Bible. I've got plenty of books, but I spend more of my time reading my Bible. Brother, hey, that's the old colored preacher said one time. He said, Bible sure do shine a lot of light on them commentaries. Amen. It'll do it, brother. I tell you, I'm not against books. I've got a bunch of them, and I respect what men have said and wrote. And God's had some great ones down through the year. But, brother, this Bible, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know what I read? The first book I read in the morning, it ain't the newspaper. It ain't a commentary. It ain't a devotional book. It's the Word of God. Brother, the Word of God. You know what the last book I read before I go to bed at night when I pray? It ain't a devotional book. Brother, it's the Word of God. Faith cometh by hear it. And we need to practice the promise and stand on the promise of God's presence. Side of right and duty, but of peerless worth. It is the look that melted Peter. 'Tis the face that Stephen saw. It was the heart that wept with Mary. Can alone from idols draw. Draw close to the Lord and win. Fill completely till your cup overflows its brim. What have we to do with idols? Since we're keeping company with Him. The third thing I want to say tonight, not only should we stand on the promise of God's protection, not only should we stand on the promise of God's presence, also tonight, especially as we begin to launch out and build a new church, we launch our best ministry, our visitation, and getting into more and more homes, and radio programs and tracts and Bibles and tapes and personal witness at school and all these things, we need to stand on the promise of God's provisions. You know when a rainbow appears? When it's partly cloudy. When the sky's completely cloudy, you don't hardly ever see a rainbow. It's partly cloudy. Some blue and some's cloudy, and then you'll see a rainbow and it reaches way over here like this. Those promises are there. Have you ever tried to catch one of them things? One time I was going to church, I believe, somewhere up in the cove, and I got about up there in Woodlawn. And you look up there and you seen the prettiest rainbow you ever seen. And I thought, boy, that thing's just right up there in that field. And I drove and drove and drove and drove. And I drove about 3 miles and it still looked like it was way up there. And I drove and drove and drove. And it seemed like the more I drove, the farther it got. You can't catch up with them, but they're there. And you believe in it because you can see it. Now tonight, we need to stand on the promise of God's vision. The verse of Scripture is, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. By Christ Jesus. We worry about what we're going to do, what we're going to eat. You know what our preacher used to say at Nebo? One of the preachers down there. He said, God supply all His needs according to His riches in glory. Brother, that's a pretty good bank, ain't it? Riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know what the streets are made out of up there? Brother, he ain't in bad shape. Listen, our preacher used to say, he said, to put the angels on half rations before he'd let one of his children starve to death. David said, I once was young, now I'm old. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Right. We've heard testimonies of here. We've got people here. I've heard Brother John there and took care of them and supplied their needs. May not have everything we want all the time. Ain't that right, Brother John? But I'll tell you one thing, brother. He's up here looking pretty healthy tonight, singing, wasn't he? I'm telling you, God will provide for His children. Yes, sir, He will. Yes, sir, He will. You say, well, Brother Danny, I heard about it because somebody over in Russia, they're in prison and all this. Yeah, I know that, but those are the exception. And God, you don't know if they starved to death, God still might have fed them with something. and just took them on to glory without a bit of pain. I don't know. I'm telling you, brother, the Bible said He'll supply all our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I heard about a little boy one time, and his mama, and they're real poor, didn't have anything. And they sat beside an empty cupboard and a bare table and an empty fireplace. And it was cold on a winter night. And his mama, she said, "Son, I don't know what to do. We'll get the Bible, God's Word out, and believe His promises." And so mama read him the story of Elijah being fed by the ravens. And how the Elijah's out there didn't have nothing to eat. And God sent the ravens to feed Elijah. That little boy believed that, brother. He believed God meant what He said there. And you know what? After he got through, he said, "Mama, do you mind if I leave the door open? Maybe God will send His ravens to us tonight. Let me leave the door open." And she said, "All right, son." They didn't have no heat, no way. And he said he left that door open. He was sitting in there, and all of a sudden there came a knock beside the door. And he said, "Come on in." There's a man came in, and he said, "I was coming down the road, and I noticed your door open. What's your door open doing open on a cold night like this?" And a little boy said, "I left it open for God's ravens." He said, "Elijah, God was hungry, didn't have nothing to eat, and we're just like he was, and God sent the ravens to feed him." And that man said, "Really?" And God touched his heart, and he said, "In that case, I need God's ravens tonight." And he went downtown and bought him up a bunch of groceries and brought it to them and fed them and made sure they took care of from then on. You know why? Because that little old boy believed what God said in his Bible and left his door open, and God sent the raven. You say, "Brother Danny, that's just coincidence. That's, you don't never get a blessing. You don't believe nothing. You've got to believe the Bible. You've got to believe it. The Bible said the just shall live by sight," right? No, the just shall live by faith. And brother, we need to take a step out once in a while. Now, what if that was a 100-mile drop off right there? And I figured God wanted me to go that way. You know what a lot of Christians would do? They'd say, "God, I'm willing to step out. Put it underneath me." And the Lord said, "The just shall live by faith." "All right, Lord, I got the faith. I believe You can do it. Put it there and I'll step on it." And the Lord said, "No, the just shall live by faith. Step out." You know what? The river of Jordan never parted. They put their foot in it. They can stand there and say, "Lord, I believe You're able to do it. I believe You're able to do it. I believe You're able to do it." But the river never did part till they went ahead and put their feet in and got their feet wet. And when they did, brother, she opened up just like that. If they hadn't put their foot in, they'd have still been standing there. Sometimes God wants us to step out by faith. Sometimes God wants us to launch out. You say, "Well, what if something goes wrong?" Brother, that's what faith is. You just go out and say, "Well, here I go. If I perish, I perish." Woo! Just like that. And listen, did you know that's what we done when I started this church? I didn't have no promise this thing was going to go right when I started. God didn't come down here in a revelation and write it on a wall and show me, "If you'll start New Manor Baptist Church on East Court Street, this and that, boy, I'll bless it and I'll do that." Brother, it is strictly by faith. I believed God wanted me to do it. I was convinced God wanted me to do it, but I ain't heard no audible voice. No! I ain't done much for God since I've been saved, but everything I've ever done for God, I had to do by faith. That's just the way the Lord's got it fixed. I don't know why. It's just the way He does. It pleases God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Stand on the promise of God's provisions. I heard about a woman one night, April 1912. Woke up in the middle of the night. All of a sudden, she's real scared and worried about her husband. And she had reason to be, because her husband was on the Titanic coming back. She, of course, they said it was unsinkable, nothing could happen. God woke her up in the middle of the night. And she said, "I felt a burden to pray." She said, "I got down on my knees and it was just horror, like he was in some kind of danger." And of course, you know the story. You know that was the time when that iceberg ripped the guts out of that thing and she was going down. And she prayed and prayed and prayed, and she said, at 5:00 in the morning, peace come to her soul. She said, at 5:00, I just had the sweetest peace come to me. At 5:00, God said, "It's all right." I got back in bed and turned over and went to sleep. Her husband didn't get home for quite some time. She didn't even know about the ship sinking. Do you know what happened? They said that ship started going down that night, and her husband was one of the men on the ship that had already decided there's no way he could be saved, but he was just helping women and children get on the life rafts and be saved. He had done decided he was going down with the ship. Said that he went down with the ship. They went in those icy cold Atlantic waters. Them waters were about 29 degrees that night. That ship went down. And he's underneath there, and just by instinct, he started swimming underwater. And as that ship went down, he started swimming to the top. And he said when he swam to the top, lo and behold, he come up right near a lifeboat that was turned over. Now all during this time, his wife is on her knees praying for him back home.
She didn't know what was wrong. And he come up and he held on to this lifeboat, and they held on. And early that morning, guess what time? A ship come by and seen them and picked them up. 5 o'clock. He said it got on that ship and it got warm and dry. That's the time God, his wife got the victory back home. I don't understand how God does that. I don't understand why God does things like that. But too many testimonies of stuff like that happening, brother. It's real. It's real. Stand on the promise of God's provision. I heard about a pastor's family back a long time ago, and they was real poor. Sometimes they wouldn't make $10 a week for the whole family to survive on. Many times they had to believe God by faith to supply their needs. They said one week they didn't hardly have nothing, had a little grease. The wife tried to cook them up some biscuits, and they was horrible. And I didn't give you women no excuse to do that. You've got better stuff to make them out of than she did. She didn't hardly have the right material to make them with, and she made some, man, they couldn't hardly eat them. And they said their little girl asked the blessing, the little bitty girl at the table, and the little girl said, "Jesus, help us to eat these biscuits." She said, "Jesus, help us to eat these biscuits, and if we can't, please send us some better ones." That little girl, she's willing to eat them things. That'll be the prayer that most of you men pray tomorrow morning. If you're thankful, at least you get some. A lot of men don't. I heard some of you women rededicate your life Wednesday night. I was glad to hear about that. But listen, she said, "Jesus, give us some better biscuits. We can't eat these." And you wouldn't believe it. Just in a little while, a knock came at the door. It was a cold, rainy night, and it was late. And all of a sudden, there's this guy there at the door, and this guy was a baker that run a bakery downtown. And he just dumped out sweet rolls and honey buns and donuts and everything all over the table. And they said, "What?" He said, "I don't know what it was. I was just constrained. Something just pulled me over here." He said, I wanted to wait till tomorrow, but something said to come tonight. He said, "I come 7 miles in the rain. I'm tired. And I've worked all day, 7 miles in the cold rain to bring you this, and I brought them to you." Boy, they had a time. Stand on the promise of God's provision. Tonight, I don't know what your situation might be. In just a few moments, Brother Johnny's going to come and we're going to sing that old song, "Standing on the Promises of God." I'll read you a little poem called "The Lord Hath Blessed." When our soul is much discouraged by the roughness of the way, and the cross we have to carry seemeth heavier every day, when some cloud that overshadows hides our Father's face from view, oh, 'tis well then to remember He has blessed us hitherto. Looking back the long years over, what a varied path, and yet all the way His hand hath led us, given to us pleasant places, placed each hindrance we have met, cheered us all the journey through, passing through the deepest waters, He hath blessed us hitherto. Surely then our hearts should trust Him, though the clouds be dark overhead. We've a friend that draweth closer than all friends have always fled. When our pilgrimage is over and the gates we're sweeping through, we shall see with clear vision how He's blessed us hitherto. My message to you tonight is, He's took care of us this far. All of our worrying's been in vain so far. I've worried about myself. I've worried about you. And it didn't do one bit of good. All our worrying's no good. He's care of us this far. Let's stand on His promises and take care of us the rest of the way. Let's stand together. Now we're just going to have this old song tonight. Then we're going to pray and let you go. We'll just have a good old time of fellowship. We need you men. Pile in here tomorrow evening if you can. Bring the tools that I mentioned. We're going to get us up some teams, the Lord willing, and have some different teams of workers when we start building in a few months. So that way everybody won't have to do it all the time. But I know you're facing financial problems, physical problems, mental problems, spiritual problems. I don't know. But I'll promise you tonight, if you'll stand on God's promises, He'll not let you down. May not turn out just like you want it to, but stand on the promises of God. While we sing that old hymn tonight, I want you to, when we get to the chorus, hold your Bibles up and say, "Stand on the promises of God." If you need to come and pray tonight, maybe there's something in your life that keeps you from taking God and His promises. You need to come and get your life right with the Lord. You come
while we sing. Let's sing that old hymn together tonight, standing on the promises of God.
329.
All right, now everybody sing real loud. Let's see how loud we can sing.
Standing on the promises
everybody.
Of God's my King.
Sing!
Through eternal ages, let His praises ring.
Louder!
Glory in the highest.
Louder!
Everybody
sing!
Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing. I'm standing on the promises of God.
All right, if you need to come while we get ready to sing that second verse, don't thank God for these that have come. Maybe taking God's word. I don't know what your problems might be, what you're going through tonight, but if you'll stand on the promises of God, He'll see you through. While we sing that next verse, let's sing. Everybody
standing
sing.
Standing on the promises that cannot fail.
Cannot fail.
When the howling storm comes down here,
that's why you see a rainbow up in the sky, glory to God.
Of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God.
All right, everybody sing now.
Standing on the promises.
Sing now.
Standing. I'm standing on the promises.
Keep
us
singing,
of God.
Amen. While we sing, won't you come? If you need to come.
Promises of the Lord. Bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord.
Amen.
Overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God.
All right, let's sing it out tonight.
Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing.
Yes. Standing. Glory to God.
I'm standing on the promises of God.
We sing that next one. All God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's get practiced up there a little bit. Let's say that again. Ready? All God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. We've got a book that we can stand on tonight. Amen. We've got a book true. No mistakes in it that we can stand on tonight. Sing another verse. Why are we saying?
Amen. Standing on the promises I cannot fall.
Cannot fall.
Listening every moment.